Welcome back to the TPN podcast. I'm Matt, your co-host, and unfortunately Adam was out flying the line today and couldn't be with us. But we are lucky to have one of our repeat guests, Mark Himmelhoe from Cockpit to Cockpit, is back today to talk about a couple of topics that we have heard over and over on the Pilot Network. I don't know if you have read Cockpit to Cockpit yet. If you haven't, you definitely want to check that out. But Mark, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Matt. I really appreciate you having me back on. Love to have the opportunity to talk to your audience.
It's been a little while since we talked to you about Cockpit to Cockpit. How's the book going? The launch, did that go well?
It went great, yeah. A lot of interest, and it seems to be, the word seems to be getting out rather rapidly in the line units out there, because, you know, initially, obviously, I was getting my audience from your members, but now people are telling me that they're just hearing about it out there in the military, and I think that's fantastic. That's exactly what it was designed to do.
Well, that's very cool. Have you gotten any feedback on how it's helped people or what they've been using it for? Is it just general knowledge, or is it actually helping people get hired?
The biggest feedback I've gotten so far has been that people just didn't know where to start and how to organize their transition process. And they've been very appreciative of having one resource that helps them structure their transition process. I have gotten some feedback as well about people getting interviews and getting hired, which is great. Would like to formalize that in the future into a better process where I can really track our community and see how well they do.
That's it's always a good feeling when you get someone who comes back and says that they got their interview or dream job or got something out of your book or something you've created. That's a pretty awesome feeling to pay it forward.
Absolutely.
Like that.
And I think the Pilot Network probably does a lot in that respect as well. I'm sure people without this resource would have been in a whole different boat.
Well, I hope so. That's why TPN exists. You know, there are a lot of people out there who have questions, and guys like yourself who have done the Air Force thing, retired, and then moved on, and then be able to share that knowledge, especially in a way as formal as Cockpit to Cockpit. That's pretty cool too. So, I guess let's talk about one of the topics that always comes up on the network: is the grass really greener on the other side? And the question comes up all the time. I'm thinking about leaving the military, thinking about the airlines, and I'm wondering when it makes sense and if it makes sense. And you wrote an article on that in the last TPNQ. What are your thoughts? Is the grass really greener?
One of my readers sent me an email and asked me that question, exactly that question. And he, just to add drama to the story, you know, he sent that to me during the Christmas holidays. Well, he was deployed in the Middle East, you know, so here he is, you know, in the suck.
When your morale's at the highest.
Right, yeah. Deployed on the holidays. And he's coming up on the end of his active duty service commitment, and he asked me this question. And I wanted to respond to it. I wanted to put a lot of thought into the response because it's a huge question. There's so much involved in answering that question. So I really took the time over the course of several days to write him a really good, proper response. And I realized by the time I got to the end of that email that I had an article on my hands that would be great for TPN, because obviously he's not the only one out there asking that question. And I think I did a pretty good job of summarizing not just all the good stuff, but also the bad stuff. You know, it's not always all it's cracked up to be. But I think I did a pretty good job of summing it all up. And my overall answer was, yes, I think it is. Mm-hmm. But it all kind of depends on how you play it.
So I think obviously a lot of people know what the pros are. Tell us about some of the cons that we might not be as familiar with if you haven't actually made the transition yet or you don't have any Part 121 experience. What's some of the things that you wish you had known prior to making the jump?
Sure. I think any job that you have, there's going to be ups and there's going to be downs. It's not, I don't think anybody could say they have the perfect job, but this one comes pretty darn close. But anyway, yeah, some of the things that are not so desirable about the airlines, obviously, you're gone a lot. Depending on which airline you choose and how they run their schedule, you're going to be gone somewhere between, so let's just call it 10 to 20 days a month. A lot of that depends on whether you're a commuter or whether you live in domicile, things like that. But on average, somewhere between 10 and 20 days a month, you're going to be away from home, away from the family. But, if you compare that to the military, where you're gone for 6 months to a year deployed, all in one chunk, well, this is just breaking that up into 3, 4, 5, 6 day bites instead of, a 6 month deployment.
Sure. And your
So that's
accommodations are slightly different than being deployed as well, right?
ain't that the truth? At least in the airlines, you're getting a nice hotel room usually. I mean, some places are better than others, but in general, you're in decent hotels and with places to go out and eat and drink and go see and do things versus being in a tent potentially or what other billeting situation you have in your deployment. So yeah, that's one downside. Another one I would say is in the military, we all joined because we had a sense of purpose, patriotism, and there's a pride in completing that military mission and contributing to national defense. I'm not going to say there's not pride in getting people from one place to another where they need to get to for things that are important in their lives. There is, but it's never going to be quite the same as that military pride you had and that camaraderie you have in your squadron, which really doesn't exist in the airlines. It's
Sure.
kind of a go to work, do your job, go home, and you may or may not ever see that person again that you just flew with for 3 or 4 days. So that's kind of very different. And I miss the military pride and the patriotism and that sense of call to duty that I had in the military.
Right. And a little bit of the squadron identity probably is on a much larger scale for the company that you're working for to a certain extent, but not quite the same as having the squadron bar kind of on Friday nights or something like that.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, there's there's just not that camaraderie, brothers and sisters in arms feeling that you had in your unit, that sense of pride in your unit. Obviously we're all proud of the airline that we work for, but it doesn't show on a daily basis, and it's not something we get together and celebrate on any kind of a regular basis.
Sure. That makes a lot of sense. We hear a lot of questions about the commuting versus living in domicile and how the quality of life, bidding for quality of life versus bidding for pay and all those sorts of things kind of play into the airline lifestyle. Can you expand on that a little bit and just kind of
Yeah,
compare and contrast for us?
definitely. There's no right or wrong way to do it, and quality of life is the name of the game. Ultimately, to me, that's what makes the grass greener on the other side, is the fact that you get to choose how you want to define your quality of life. So, if you want to stay in one place where your kids are in a good school and commute to a domicile, you can do that. If you want to live in domicile and be home more, you can do that. If you want to pick up extra shifts and make a lot more money in most places, you can do that. Or if you just want to do the bare minimum and be home with your family, well, then you can do that. So
Right.
it quality of life is up to you and how you define it, which is not necessarily the same as in the military. In the military kind of defines how your quality of life is.
Certainly does.
I think we all understand that, and I don't need to really explain that. While I'm talking about quality of life, I'll just also hit on the topic of the fact that, in the military, it was all about the mission, and that was where that fun and that pride came in. In the airlines, a lot of times that quality of life is about what you do with your time off because you have a lot more of it. And it's I still enjoy flying, don't get me wrong, but it's not the same as doing a 4BX DACT and dropping bombs and basic fighter maneuvers and that kind of thing that I experienced in the fighter community.
Sure.
It's not anything like that. But I really enjoy the fact that I have all this extra time off to pursue my passions, my hobbies, and be with my family. I'm sure a lot of military pilots can relate to the fact that even your time off is not always really your time off, because sometimes you have to go in and catch up on the weekends or on your downtime because you were off flying so much that you got behind on all the other duties and projects. Whereas in the airlines, there are no other duties and projects. You know, when you're done with your flying day, you're done. And that's all there is. You're just being paid to be a pilot, which is beautiful. But I see people, yeah, side businesses. I see people pursuing their passions as far as boating and fishing and golf and, you know, you name it, travel with their family, which is obviously amazing now because you have these free travel benefits for you and your family, and you can go practically anywhere in the world. So, I mean, it's whatever you enjoy doing with your time off. And, you know, there's a lot of volunteerism. People do things for good causes. And, you know, we all wanted to do that stuff in the military, but we didn't always have time.
Right, and having to take leave and being restricted to that
Right.
bidding process and whether or not there's an exercise or, you know, something, some other OPR due or something like that.
Right. And you know, bidding is a whole nother topic that it's a can of worms, but just to touch on it quickly, you know, what I bid for changes from month to month. There are months where, you know, my wife may be real busy and doesn't have a lot of time to spend with me anyway, so I bid to for the maximize the flying and the schedule. Whereas other months she has time to play with, and I say, hey, let's go somewhere. And that month I may bid to try to get a chunk of time off, like, you know, a 7 to 10 day chunk of time off. And in my first year, we were able to take 3 week-long vacations without me ever having to use a day of vacation pay or sick pay, just by trading things around because that flexibility exists.
Do you live in domicile?
I do, yeah. And
Yeah.
for me, that's how I define quality of life. You know, I think it's great to be 20, 25 minutes from the airport and be able to pick up short notice premium pay trips. That's great to me. But, you know, I understand that people's life circumstances are different. And, you know, some people have reasons for where they want to live. And that's a beautiful thing too, you know, the fact that you have the freedom to live virtually anywhere you want, as long as there's an airport where you can get to work. You know, I don't think you're going to run into anybody who says, I love commuting.
Right.
It's not a fun experience to have to commute, but it's the benefits that it affords you that make it acceptable to a lot of pilots, you know, because they do get to have that mountain home just outside of Denver, have their kids in a great school in the Northeast, or just whatever that reason is. People make it work. And you know, I did it for a couple months. It's not the worst thing in the world. It just, you got to factor in that if you're commuting, it's very rare to be able to start your trip and end your trip and get home on the same day or leave your home the same day.
Right.
So you're probably going to end up adding a night in a hotel room or a crash pad, either on the beginning of the trip or the end of the trip or both, which is more time away from home.
Sure. Where you're not necessarily getting paid for that time either.
That's correct. The airlines only pay for the time from the time you push off the gate on the first leg of your trip to the time you block back in at the end of your trip. So if you stayed in a hotel room between those, it's paid for. If you have to stay in a hotel room to get there to start your trip, it's not paid for, or vice versa on the back end.
At what point does upgrade capability and timeline between airlines, how does that all factor into the quality of life decision and the metrics of trying to decide, do I attempt to get a seniority number now, or wait 4 years until I retire kind of thing,
Yeah.
and then jump in then? Can you talk to that a little bit?
It's a great question. You know, and everybody hits that point in their military flying career where they're coming up on their end of their active duty service commitment, and they have to make that decision. Do I stay or do I go? Do I try to go part-time with the guard and start building my seniority with the airlines? And again, I'm going to say there's no right or wrong. You know, it's all about trade-offs. But obviously, seniority is quality of life. Those two are directly correlated in the airlines. So the sooner you can start with the airline, the faster your seniority starts to build. And you could talk to this better than I could, but you know, because I went 20 years and retired, but there's benefits and detractors from doing that. The benefit is you start building your seniority with the airlines. I think the obvious detractor is you kind of have two jobs. Now you have your military job and your airline job, and you have to balance your life around both of those.
Right.
But that may make total sense. And I think the especially lately, and what I've heard lately from a lot of pilots who are making that decision is the quality of life in general in the military has really gone downhill lately. And so it's starting to make a lot more sense to people to start building that airline time now. Some people give up the military entirely and just go straight to the airlines and do it that way. Other people would like that security of having a fallback and a retirement eventually with the guard or with the reserve. And I will never say that there's a right or a wrong way. I can tell you that on paper, you make more money getting out at the earliest opportunity and starting to build your seniority with the airlines, whether or not you choose to do the guard or reserve thing, whether you get out entirely. It doesn't matter. You make more money with the airlines by starting as early as possible.
Right. There are some big heads out there who have created some pretty impressive spreadsheets and metrics and doing all the calculus of now versus then and cost benefit analysis and all that. And it's pretty impressive. The numbers are good. Do you see any flaws in that logic, or does it always assume the best case scenario? What happens if there's an economic downturn or something, God forbid, knock on wood?
Yeah, that's exactly my point. So the only thing that those models don't take into account is the fact that the airline industry is a very, forgive the pun, turbulent industry and has a history of furloughs and bankruptcies and mergers and that kind of thing. And right now, none of that seems likely because the airline industry is doing so well with the oil prices being low and the gas prices being low. But if history is any indicator, sometime during the next 20 years, the industry will see another downturn, and that's when that job security thing becomes really important. And so, you know, I caution people that although the money looks good, and yes, you can get out and walk away from the military and start making gobs of money with the airlines, that can all be pulled out from under you very quickly. And that's why some people really enjoy the balance of having a guard or reserve job as a backup, so that even if you do get furloughed from the airlines, you still got your guard or reserve job, you're still working towards a military retirement. And so yeah, there's a lot of reasons why that would make a lot of sense.
And more importantly, you still have that opportunity to serve, which is why I think a lot of military pilots got in it to begin with.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of the
And
best of both worlds
right.
in
And
my perspective.
I've learned you get to do that on your terms for the most part.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, that's the best of both worlds in those terms. You know, you get to still have the camaraderie, still have the awesome fun flying or sense of pride with the mission that you don't get with the airlines, and you get to go do the airlines and start building your seniority for later on.
Right. Absolutely. Well, very cool. It definitely some things to think about, and I know everyone's scenario is different. Just in case anyone wants to ask you some specific questions from your perspective, I know you're always offering to pay it forward, offer advice and mentorship from your personal experience. How can people get a hold of you if they have any further questions or just want to talk about it for a little bit?
Yeah, certainly. My website has a contact us link on it, and the website is www.cockpittocockpit.com, and that's the word cockpit, the number two, and the word cockpit.
Cool. I find that sometimes just having a sounding board and someone to talk through that stuff without necessarily having to show your cards to your direct supervisor or something like that is really helpful. I know that was something that I was really worried about when I was nearing that decision point. And being able to talk offline with a couple of people was really helpful. But we also hope that people feel comfortable asking those questions on TPN. And as always, both Adam or I are happy to help as much as we can. And if you are in that scenario where you don't want to show your cards yet, you just want more information, you can always contact us at heyguys@thepilotnetwork.org. And we'd be happy to set you up with someone else who has been through this recently or that we know of, or someone like Mark who can just be a sounding board and help you out, or we'll post a question for you anonymously on the network, and hopefully we can crowdsource a good answer for you. So
yeah, hey Matt, I wanted to add one more thing if I could. I will be at Women in Aviation March 3rd and 4th in Orlando, the Women in Aviation Conference. So if any of your TPN members are there, or any of my readers who are listening to this are going to be there, please stop by the Author's Corner table. I'll be there March 3rd and 4th. I'd love to talk to you about your experience.
Awesome. And we are also coming up, speaking of conferences, on the TPNX conference in, we're hoping for October. We're start slowly settling in on a date. Right now we're throwing out the last weekend of October as our prospective date. So hopefully the venue works out. We just want to start encouraging people to mark that in the calendar. It's really going to be a different event. We're not going to be doing the suit and tie sort of bring your resume, meet and greet. It's truly going to be a networking event where these sorts of topics can be talked about, where networking is important, and we hope to have as many members there so we can meet them in person and really build some concrete relationships. Because right now hiring is good, but sometimes that's not always the case, and who you know really makes a big difference. So we encourage people to consider coming out to that, and more details will be to follow. Till then, Mark, just want to say thank you. Really appreciate everything you've done for the network and contributed, and I know there's been a ton of good info. So hopefully we can have you on again soon, and we will see you next time.